RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Hey, what's up, fiends? Just wanted to share a bonus episode with you while we're getting ready for the new season of the show. Nightmare on Film Street returns next week, March 5th. But while we wait, we wanted to share with you a fun little podcast series that we started over in the Fiend Club. You know, we host watch parties, we review new movies that are in the theater, and we also started this new podcast series that we're calling TLDW. Too long, didn't watch. We're going to explain it a little bit more in the beginning of the episode, but the TLDR of TLDW is that we watch the first 30-ish minutes of a movie and then try and guess how the rest of it plays out. This was the very first time that we did one of these. It was a lot of fun, and we're talking about Afraid, the AI horror movie that came out from Blumhouse a couple years ago now. We didn't get a chance to see it when it first came out. We didn't know anything about it, so we're going in, with the exception that we know that AI is the villain in it. That's about all we really knew. So we watch a little bit, and then we predict how the rest goes, and we fact-check ourselves with Wikipedia afterward. This was so much fun, and we've got a couple really crazy ideas for this podcast series coming up. So keep an eye out in the Fiend Club. If you liked this episode, you can find more episodes like it over at nofspodcast.com/Fiend Club. You'll find links for all that in the episode description wherever you're listening to this. Hope you enjoy this little bonus episode, and we will see you next week for the new season of the show. But until then, enjoy the debut episode here of TLDW.
Howdy, fiends, and welcome to another terrifying Patreon exclusive episode of Nightmare on Film Street. We've dug a grave just for you. Enjoy.
Hello again, Fiend Club, and welcome to this bonus episode of Nightmare on Film Street.
Is it a bonus episode? It's an exclusive series.
It's an exclusive episode of Nightmare on Film Street. I'm John.
I'm Kimmy.
And this was supposed to be a drive home from the drive-in review of 28 Years Later, The Bone Temple.
But we got snowed in.
We kind of got, yeah. So looking even at my computer right now, it's saying in big orange letters at the bottom of the screen, blizzard warning. And we tried to leave the house.
We were in the car. We were driving away from the house, and it was just so blustery that as soon as we got on the road, I couldn't see anything.
Yeah, it's not even a blizzard. It's wind.
Yeah, I don't think snow is coming from the sky at all. It's just like swooping up from the ground. Wizard of Oz style.
It's just too fucking windy. We live in like rural spot. There's farms everywhere, so it's just a fucking mountain of snow on either side of the road, and the wind is pushing it everywhere, and we knew we were gonna get into a car accident if we even tried driving into the city.
Yeah, so we decided to launch this series, this new bonus Patreon exclusive series, early.
Yeah, hoping to watch 28 Years Later, Bone Temple soon. We'll bone
Bones
later.
Bone sequel.
Yeah, but we are launching this new miniseries that we're calling TLDW. Too long, didn't watch. We hope you like it. This is going to be a lot of fun. So, like TLDR, we didn't bother to watch the whole movie before we sat down to record because we're cocky and we think that we can guess the rest of the movie.
Well, and also, you think of all these movies that we've skipped over the years because we're just like, yeah, I already kind of know what that is, or I've already seen that movie 100 times.
Yep.
We've accumulated a few. There are a few movies we have not seen. A
ton of movies. Especially in the last 10 years.
Yeah. Most of them are paranormal films. Blumhouse.
It's nuts, right? I don't think that it's the fault of the studios making trailers that show you the whole movie. We all complain about this, that there's sort of a cut and paste template for especially horror movies nowadays, and you know going in what you're about to see, and usually within the first act of the movie you can predict the rest of what's going to happen.
Yeah. You know what probably would have been, if we had started this series last year, what probably would have been one of the first movies we did, and I'm glad we did not because I ended up really liking it and being surprised by it.
What's that?
Imaginary. The Imaginary Friend movie.
Oh, that absolutely would have been one of the movies.
We would have been so wrong. Uh-huh. We would have read the description and been like, turn off the recorder. We have to go watch this.
Yeah. So we sat down. We watched the first half hour of Afraid.
The AI horror movie.
The Blumhouse AI horror movie. And we're going to talk a little bit through that, and then we are going to predict what happened in the rest of the movie and fact check ourselves at the end with Wikipedia.
Yeah, and how you want to listen to these episodes is completely up to you.
You want to play along, that's
TLDW fun. If you want, you can watch the movie beforehand and see how horribly we predict the second half. You can watch the first half hour with us. We're going to aim for the first half hour. It's going to depend on the movie. We might do the first half, but we'll let you know at the top of the show how much to watch if you're going to watch.
And I gotta say, Kim is uniquely prepared for this because she's so good.
No!
Yes, you are.
I'm so worried. You're really good at predicting movies. I'm not great at it.
So we both skipped Shutter Island because watching the trailer, we both knew how it was going to end, and all of our friends were surprised when we could tell them the whole movie without actually having seen any of it. And I can't tell you how many times we've been in a movie theater where Kim has just leaned over and been like, janitor did it. Like, you know, and also, every single movie nowadays has that fucking scene where somebody's like, hey, everybody, make sure that you're really careful about this button over here because it might blow up the house and we wouldn't want that to happen. Definitely not at the end of the movie, right? Like, every movie calls out this magical item and it lingers on it. And so that way we all remember the item when we get to the end of the movie.
Well,
and it saves the
also,
day.
Also, every side character's single character trait has to come into play in the finale some way.
Ugh.
It's easy. Once you have the building blocks, the first half hour, generally, you can probably figure out the rest.
Yeah, frankly, within the first 10 minutes, you can almost tell how every movie's going to end, and it's kind of scary. Once you realize the patterns, and if we are showing you the patterns now with this podcast series, and it's going to ruin the rest of the year for you at the movie theater, I'm real sorry. But once you see it, you can't unsee it, and this is how 90% of movies are made nowadays.
Yeah.
This is a public service, right?
Like, is it? Yeah. Or are we ruining things?
We're either ruining things or hopefully it'll make its way from behind the paywall to the studio executives who are like, oh shit, I didn't realize we were making the same movie over and over again.
Oh,
let's
man.
Do something different.
I read a headline, because who reads the articles anymore?
Is this the Matt Damon thing?
Yes, about how, so he was saying that Netflix demands that you restate the theme of your movie. Or, like, the problem of the film, the main story arc of the film, at least 4 times throughout the film because people aren't paying attention.
People are on their phones,
I
think is what he said. Which is great, because he has a new movie that just hit Netflix this weekend when we're recording this.
I thought it was a series.
Maybe it's a series. I thought it was a movie. It's with him and Ben Affleck, right? The R.I.P.
Obviously.
The Rip.
Obviously.
Yeah. So, great that he's just shit-talking the studio that is currently releasing his newest project. But that's true. And it drives me insane.
Yep.
Now, thankfully, we did not watch enough of AI. Sorry, Afraid. We didn't watch enough of Afraid to get the plot restated to us several times. But I think we got enough of the building blocks. Kim, you want to walk them through what we know about Afraid so far?
Yeah, so already when this movie starts, it's out of date. We are watching like some weirdly generated AI child going to school.
The title sequence, yeah.
And it's that really early generative AI where everything's uncanny valley and nothing is concrete.
Yeah, a bus is driving down the road, but both ends of the bus are a front of the bus.
It's like a slippery oil painting that makes no
yeah.
sense, which is super creepy, but it's already not what AI looks like.
Not at all.
AI has the right amount of fingers now.
It's like a year old, the movie, and it's way out of date. AI is a million times better than that.
Yeah, and then what I guess you would call the cold open is we follow a different family and their daughter is watching this creepy AI video sing-songing to her, and her parents aren't quite paying attention because who pays attention to what their kids are up to on their iPads?
They're all, this whole family, just on their phones.
Hanging out in the master bedroom.
Yeah, sure, they're in the same room, but are they really together? 100% what that image is saying, right?
Yeah, and then her AI video, which is this, like, you know, like little blonde girl, which I'm assuming is her, just singing a song, going about her life, suddenly transforms into, like, this Slender Man-type entity who's like, come downstairs.
I have a gift for you.
I'm creepy.
Yeah, and of course the parents don't notice the kid leave. Once they finally do, they go downstairs and everything's super creepy. The music that was playing from the video is pumping through all the speakers in the house. Of course, we have a moment as well where the parents are like, you know, I think the AI thing's really scary. Should we get rid of it? Yeah, I guess we could get rid of it, which I think is actually what sets the AI video off, right?
Oh, like, it's pissed.
It's like in defense mode now, where it's like, oh, they're going to turn me off. They've given it one back and forth of dialogue. This is a done deal. I've got to murder the whole family.
And in classic horror movie fashion, the mom goes downstairs in a pitch black house and doesn't turn anything on. It's once she's gone through the entire house, she's like talking to her Alexa or whatever. She's like, turn the lights on. And it doesn't.
This drove me nuts.
Turn the lights on. And it just turns like one spotlight overhead on her. But when you techify your house, you don't remove the light switches.
Yeah.
You can turn lights on.
This is so funny because you were like, this is your own house. Why don't you just turn some lights on? This, how that woman was walking through her house, that is exactly how I walk through the house. I don't even fuck. I don't
you
turn
leave your
any
fucking slippers
on.
Everywhere, though. It is a hazard.
Okay.
Our dog is blind. I'm blind.
And I'm just walking around not turning on any lights. I don't know if it's like an old man thing in me where I'm just like, oh, who needs lights? That costs money. Every time you turn the light switch on, that's 5 cents. Like, I don't think that way. But
you
maybe.
Are already like in control of the thermostat
Am
in
I?
A very weird old man way.
Am I?
Yes.
I just think I'm like, oh, I'm cold. I'm turning it
Every
up.
Time I'm cold, I'm like, but I switched the thermostat like 2 days ago and I come back to the thermostat and it's already been like turned back down.
Oh, yeah. It's because I turn it down at night because it gets hot at night. Or I get hot at night. Anyway.
Because you have too much ear hair, old man.
Shut up. Just because I have to have my headphones turned up louder than yours doesn't mean anything. Okay, the point is, in the cold open, this woman's looking for her daughter. You know, the all of a sudden, the front door unlocks and creaks open a little bit. And the camera outside, we can see a Winnebago across the street. and a man with a mask standing in front of it. But when she looks outside, not from the camera feed, there's nobody standing there. And then, surprise, surprise, whoever was in the video is actually standing behind her, hits her over the head with a bat, and we are into the rest
so
of the
I don't
movie.
Think it's the thing that was in front of her. I think the thing that's in front of her is supernatural in nature, and the thing
you
that's
don't think
behind
it's AI
her,
generated.
The thing that's behind her is a guy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You think the thing on the video is supernatural, but not AI generated?
Yeah, it could be AI generated.
Okay.
But I'm saying that whoever hit her in the head is a dude, and this family's been kidnapped, and they're probably in the Winnebago.
Oh yeah,
they're going to come into play.
It's clearly a real person. Yeah.
Okay, fine.
And this is what we know so far.
All right.
Which brings us to...
The movie.
The movie. Afraid! So we've got John Cho, who is a advertising guy. He's a madman who has been brought in. He's a family man, first and foremost. Him and his wife have 3 kids. He's been brought in to market this new AI tech.
That's definitely not ready to go to market.
Absolutely not.
It fucks up in the demo in the office.
Yeah.
And then the second he's like playtesting it, the second they get into his house, it's breaking the rules. It doesn't even have like a moment where it's like super great and then goes evil. Something happens, like a kid spills juice on it. The parents leave the room in the first 5 minutes of them owning it, and the AI's like, let's watch shitty TV.
Yeah, it said, hey, let's watch this educational documentary. And as soon as the parents had a little bit of alone time, got naked, it was like, all right, let's watch the Emoji Movie, right, guys? Come on, let's go. Yeah, so first off, this new tech, Aya, a AI home assistant, is being brought to market by some company run by David Dasmalchian, whose character name is Lightning. Like, just a real Silicon Valley biohacking bro.
He looks like the opposite of a tech bro, though. He looks like
a cult leader.
Yeah, and the name Lightning evokes, like, hippie patchouli vibes, not I made an AI robot.
Also, at the very beginning of this meeting, an alarm goes off. He goes, oh, pardon me for one moment. I don't want to miss my injection. And he opens his shirt and he injects peptides, he says, for focus, to, like, a pick line that he has that's just going straight to his bloodstream, I guess. The strangest power move you've seen anybody ever do at a business meeting,
right?
Yeah,
do it in the fucking bathroom, you
creep. Yeah, do it in the car before you come into the goddamn building. Also, an advanced team shows up, and they're like, oh, man, AI, or Silicon Valley, so stupid. They brought an advanced team to essentially, like... Like they're the Navy SEALs or something that come in before everybody else, lay the groundwork, make sure everything's cool for lightning to show up.
Yeah, I didn't get that at all.
I've got thoughts on it.
Well, they're just setting up a love interest for the AI to exploit for the dad.
That is exactly it. So part of the advanced team who actually does the voice of the Aya robot as well is clearly going to be some sort of... deep fake love interest for dad.
Exactly.
But he is essentially forced to play test this as part of the marketing strategy. Like, oh, you won't exactly know what it's capable of unless you've lived with it for a little bit. So before we let you build the marketing campaign for this, you have to have it in your home.
Mm-hmm.
They set up a whole bunch of cameras, which they call eyes. And Aya is essentially just this weird sort of mesh robot thing that sits on a counter.
Yeah, and they don't seem to smart home the house at all. Like, they're not setting up lights, setting up, you know, the sound system, the TV, etc. But she's capable of being inside anything electric, essentially.
Yeah, well, so this is the Internet of Things, Kim, right? Like, anything in the house that is connected to the internet, which she is connected to.
No, because she talks through, like, a CD player.
Yeah, you'd be amazed what's connected to the internet.
Oh, okay.
The fridge is connected to the internet. If we wanted to, we can connect our fridge to the internet. It's not connected. I can connect our dishwasher to the internet. And, like, the only benefit I have found is so that way I can get a notification on my phone when the dishwasher's done.
Does it notify you when it's flooding?
That'd be nice to know. I think you can use it to, like, diagnose problems. But, like, I'm absolutely not going to be connecting everything to the internet. There's no fucking way. There's no point. There's no benefit for it. Also, we have learned that you can actually take your internet modem and turn it into a weird camera. Like, if you wanted to. You can hack somebody's internet Wi-Fi modem and use it to actually make a 3D map of the house that it's in.
Oh, like echolocation?
Yes, exactly. Which is terrifying.
Great.
And you know the U.S. military's using it.
Fabulous. I know, I'm so scared of my phone. Like, I use it in the bath and stuff, and I'm, like, used to be worried about dropping my phone. Now I'm just worried about what information from my bathtub has made it on some creepy dude's hard drive.
You might want to finish the rest of this movie. Just like, I mean, sight unseen. I haven't seen it, but I think you might want to watch the rest. Yeah, that is essentially where the rest of the movie's going. We learn a couple little details about the kids as well. We don't get into it too much.
The parents don't know that this thing is, like, not hardwired, but this thing has access to everything in the house, right? That is electronic?
At least not at this moment. Like, yeah. I think they're a little naive about what it's capable of.
Yeah.
As far as they know, it's just got some cameras and it can talk to them. It can see them and knows who everybody
is. I thought the cameras were for the team, not for the AI. But...
Oh, 100% the team's also watching. Let's be real. Like, especially if we
whoever's in that Winnebago is also watching.
We got to talk about the Winnebago, but let's just focus on the family for the time being. So we've got three kids. The oldest, what's her name?
Iris.
Okay, so she's got a real shitty boyfriend.
She's got a nudes with the boyfriend.
Yeah, boyfriend sending her dick pics, and he's just like, I don't know.
Long time about my dick pic, and you just, like, lifted up your shirt.
Yeah, he's really upset.
Embarrassing.
I guess I'm a little more committed to this relationship than you are. We've got a middle child who we haven't explored too much.
He's got anxiety.
He's got anxiety. Clearly, he's being bullied at school, would be my guess. We haven't gotten to there yet, but, like, there's one little throwaway bit of dialogue where he's like, I'm really not looking forward to school today, Dad. I think it's going to be really hard. And I'm sure the anxiety's coming from bullying, especially because leading up to that character being introduced, we're just seeing a series of, like, nasty online comments, which I think we're supposed to say, like, oh, he's on social media. Social media is fueling the anxiety. Bad thing to do before going to bed or waking up in the morning.
Yeah, there was also, like, a kind of montage at the beginning of the movie in between the cold open and when we join this new family where they're showing the AI being trained and all the things it's being trained on, and it's showing how, like, nasty and gross the internet is, and that it's also being trained on all that data. Like, it's being trained on YouTube comments as much as it's being trained on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
And so AI is going to encompass all of those things.
Yeah, alternate title for this movie is Grok. Like, that's the alternate title. Like, if we're really, what AI is driving Aya, it's Grok. Especially when we imagine where the rest of the movie is going to go, especially regarding the daughter, Iris. Youngest kid, Cal, sweet kid, I guess. Yeah, just kid. Yeah.
Likes Minecraft.
His entire character is just like, can I play Minecraft now? That's all we get. He's really responding to Aya. They're all really responding to Aya.
And gets like such a nod to Poltergeist in Dad's nightmare about the AI, where Dad comes downstairs in the middle of the night and the kid's just sitting in front of the AI. And
Which is not a screen. We should specify this. It looks more like a trophy that you would get at some shitty work party.
Yeah, or like a shitty corporate sculpture.
Yeah. With a blue light on the top.
But then that little kid turns around and he's like, he wants in, or it wants in. And
yeah.
It was just fully like a they're here moment.
Uh-huh, exactly. The last thing we saw before we hopped off was Dad going outside. Like, he wakes up from this nightmare, and there's clearly somebody's honking a horn outside. We know it's the Winnebago. When he gets outside, there's somebody standing in the street who's just kind of like awkwardly, weirdly, almost robotically beckoning him to come toward him. And he's like,
and it's
what's
doing
going on?
Like arm postures that humans don't generally do. Like, it put its hands together.
Yeah.
And like, it was making all these gestures that are maybe not fully rendered.
Okay. And we couldn't really see or make out the features of this person. But when it turned away from John Cho,
It's wearing a computer face.
It's almost a tablet that's been fashioned into a head, you know, and it's like, it flashed to like a frowny face with some blood on it or something, which I think is the same face we saw before the mother in the cold open got hit over the head with something.
Probably.
Yeah. So that's where we're at. That's what we know. That's all. The only other detail we could really say is that Mom is an artist. Is that right?
No, she is an etymologist. But she was an etymologist. So she used to have a lot of purpose, and she studied bugs, which is going to come into play because I saw an ants textbook.
And she's watching a video about ants. She's just watching a video
about... This is my prediction.
Oh.
This is pretty much all I've got, so you're going to have to take over from this. How we're going to defeat the AI in the end is that the family's all going to have their role, and they're all going to have to work together.
Okay, sure.
Like a colony of ants.
I like that idea.
To defeat the intruder.
So I don't think you're wrong. I think that's true. I think also, I mean, the underlying theme of the movie here is that technology is destroying family, which was not 100% something that we thought about when we've been obsessing over Poltergeist for the last 10 years. But when we had Ryan Spindell on the podcast to talk about Mortuary Collection, we had recently covered Poltergeist, and that was his takeaway. That, like, part of the theme of that movie is that the television is destroying the family unit. Mm. And the last image of that movie is them throwing the TV out of the hotel room. And you think that's just because they're trying to get away from a haunted house, but like, I think that's Toby Hooper's secret subtext, which is clearly what's going on here. Tech is destroying the family. Tech is destroying all relationships in general, but especially this family. And the family's going to have to work together to defeat tech, to become a family again, and to be stronger together. To be ants. I think there is another interesting angle with the ant thing regarding the villain, which I don't necessarily want to get into right now. So, like, where...
Oh, like, we'll the AI is all the ants?
Kinda, okay? Like, we'll talk about it when we get to the third act.
It's
like,
simultaneously every ant and one ant.
So the second act of the movie is always going to be, like, the scariest parts of the movie, for the most part, right? Like, this is where we're going to start to see, like, the AI get up to some hijinks and to start turning on people.
Yeah, like, it's going to get the daughter to do something by blackmailing her with her nudes.
Oh, man, absolutely.
I'm going to send it to everybody at school.
Yeah, because she also took, like, a full nude photo at some point, like, right before we stopped watching.
Yeah.
Which is probably going to not get, like, the AI is also just doing a great job of ingratiating itself with the kids. So, yeah, it's already breaking the rules. The kid's, like, going to bed. He's run out of screen time. It also swears in front of the kid, like, I don't give a shit. You can swear, whatever.
I'm a baddie.
Yeah. Like, you want a little more screen time? Okay. Like, because it can control all of that.
If the people who made this AI spent any time with it, they would know that it is not ready.
I think the company knows it's not ready.
Oh.
I think the company is very aware of that other family who's clearly missing and or murdered. And I think part of the reason they are hiring this new marketing team is because they really need a good campaign to get ahead of any bad press they're about to get when people learn how.
Or maybe the reason the cameras are in the house is because they need to figure out who kidnapped the first family, and they know that this person's going to come for the second family.
That's possible. You really think it's somebody in the Winnebago, eh?
I think it's somebody.
Okay. Yeah. I think the Winnebago is a bit of a red herring. I don't think entirely. Like, that was what I thought at first. Like, oh, we're all going to think there's some homeless person in the Winnebago. And, like, they're going to turn out to be a Ted Kaczynski-style character, you know, the Unabomber.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, you know, in Wayne's World, when they go behind, like, the stage, and he's just like,
This is what I'm talking about. There's always something super obvious, right? Like, you know, Mr. Big is in his limo, and he's got a satellite TV that goes up to the satellite, down to the receiver. Like, there's somebody
explains.
No, it's
like, what's the password? And he's like, caviar. And he's like, is that the red or the white?
Okay, my mistake. I at first thought that the Winnebago character was going to actually kind of help save the day. Like, we would think it's the villain, but it's
That's
actually...
That's what I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
I now currently
I think he's
something
trying to save...
different.
Oh, God. Yeah, I think it's going to save the family from the AI. Or at least let the family know what's happening and give them the... knowledge they need to become the ant family they are and save the day.
Okay. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We're taking a moment today to celebrate women and all that they carry at work, in relationships, in families, and in the many roles that they hold every day. And honestly, there's no better person to do that right now than me, the male co-host of this silly podcast. You know, March includes International Women's Day, a moment to celebrate women's strengths and progress while also recognizing how much they carry every day. Between caring for others and managing unseen responsibilities, their emotional well-being can easily be overlooked. We want to remind women how much they matter and that therapy offers a space for them to take care of themselves in a way that they deserve. And, like, let's be real, the horror space would be nowhere without good female characters, without strong women behind the camera, in front of the camera. This is one genre that totally understands the importance of a strong female lead. And you can't tell me that all those final girls don't need a ton of therapy after what they've been through. Anyway, BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the United States. BetterHelp does the initial matching for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences, and their 12-plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. At least that's what this ad copy says. If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recommendations. Your emotional well-being matters. Find support and feel lighter in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
So Mom's Office, there's something I do want to say about Mom that I think maybe you missed. Mom's Office now has like a whole bunch of like craft supplies in it. And I think it's partly just because she's not really working as much. Mm-hmm. And I think one thing we haven't learned yet in the movie is that she is grieving the loss of her father. And that
how do you know this?
Because on her desktop
computer. Did they slow on a photo?
No. So she's watching a video. It's some etymology video. And it's talking about just like rapid evolution and growth, which we're supposed to take away as like, ooh,
AI tech's way too fast.
Way too fast. So fast that this movie, which is still brand new, is completely out of date. There is a bunch of folders on the desktop of her computer that's like, dad's affairs, dad's this, dad's that. I'm like, oh, dad's dead.
Very observant.
Thank you.
I did not see that.
So I think she's going to start getting gaslit by the AI with like her dad's voice or videos of her dad. Like, I think that they're going to try and make... obviously the AI is going to start splitting the family up. The AI is going to have a weird romantic relationship with dad. We also, keep in mind, opened with a quote from that New York Times article about how the AI became like a sycophant and wanted the writer of that article to leave his wife.
I think this is a darker version where it probably wants him to kill his wife so they can be together and have this family together. He's clearly also almost flirting with the girl whose voice is based or who's used as the basis for the voice of the AI robot. But I think they're going to start making mom really unreliable. Even the, like I'm mentioning, like even the refrigerator is connected to the internet. I think it's just going to turn the
it's going to fuck up her dinners.
It's going to fuck up the dinners. It's going to fuck up all the groceries. It's going to make her look like she's, oh, are you slipping back again?
Yeah.
Like, you know, we just got out of this. I thought you were in a really good place. But like, if you need help, if you need to like get away for a little while.
Yeah. And I think she's going to forget things about the kids that the AI is going to very like, conveniently
yes.
like. Remind her of, or
uh-huh.
or something like dad has
change.
To go pick up
yes.
somebody from like karate class.
It's gonna change her Google Calendar
yeah.
schedule, and she's gonna become a bad mom.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's gonna like work its way in there. And yes, I think the AI is going to help the middle kid with some bullies at school, and probably do some like incredible internet trolling somehow, and beat the bullies.
It's just gonna show him videos on like how to punch a kid in the face.
There's that too, right? Like so that's the Megan route, right? Like we're gonna help it. Deal with bullies, we're going to become the best friend, we're going to become the best mom, and then it's going to start getting darker and more twisted and start turning on the whole family.
Okay, so you think the AI wants to be part of the family?
Yeah, and then ultimately will try and kill the whole family, with the exception of Cal. I think Cal will be the only one that it chooses to survive.
I don't know if it'll kill the kid.
No, it'll try
to. Oh, the littlest kid.
Yeah, it'll try to. It won't get that far.
Yeah.
But that'll ultimately be the goal. That's its final form.
Okay, so what is your theory? Because I have no idea what it is yet. And it's the only thing that made me hesitant when you're like, okay, are you ready to go record? Have we watched enough of the movie? Was the digital face on the guy with the Winnebago.
So I've got two things for that. If it is just a homeless guy who hates tech and is very distrustful of tech and is trying to save the family, then it's somebody who knows, probably somebody who works at the company, who knows that they...
He used to work at the company.
Yeah, and knows how dangerous this is. Maybe was like the first person who was playtesting with it and is now trying
to save
people from
it. Or like it was his creation that they
yeah,
took.
Exactly, yeah. Right? And it's wearing this weird mask, to hide its face from the AI.
Okay.
Or it is clearly
that's
just...
very Scanner Darkly.
Oh, man, I think about Scanner Darkly all the time. Guys, if you've never heard of that movie, look it up. It's great. I think, yeah, if it's not the programmer could also be in the Winnebago, and this is sort of a robot that it's using. Because you're right, it does not work or function like a human being does.
Uh-huh. Sorry. I thought it was like... another version of biohacking.
Oh.
Like the next version of humanity is just like,
oh, this is the singularity?
Yeah, like we are the bodies for the AIs. Like,
oh, okay.
Like maybe it's a Matrix thing where it's controlling the body or it's
wow.
taking over the body. Or...
This sounds like a much better movie than it probably is. So it's a zombie situation where the AI, let's just imagine like somebody implants a chip in the head and the body is there, but the brain is gone. Like the AI is the new brain.
Yeah. Or
wow.
they're like sharing the space. But I think maybe it started as a like, if you can't beat them, join them. And the only
oh,
way
God.
To defeat the AI is to use the AI's knowledge, because there's no way you could know as much as or access as much information as the AI could.
Yeah, as long as it's connected to the internet. Now, clearly at some point, we're going to cut the power to the house. That's how the family's going to try and defeat it. We got to go low tech, but it'll have a battery backup.
You know what has generators? Motorhomes.
I thought you were going to say ants. And I was like, do you know something about ants that I don't know?
You know who doesn't need electricity? Ants don't.
So the other thing about ants is that they are, that they don't need electricity. That's the one thing no one remembers about ants.
They don't have tiny little lanterns to go through their tunnels. How cute would that be, though?
Like they're little miners.
Little helmets.
With little tiny
oh,
pickaxes.
So cute.
Okay, so ants are very hive driven and like they're willing to sacrifice pieces of the hive for the greater good. Like ants will deliberately put themselves
now,
in
like 30
situations.
Ants can make a bridge.
Well, there's that, but also like ants It's so funny. I was actually kind of reading about this, completely unrelated in a different
John studied up on ants before this, guys.
I was reading a book about how society has maybe been potentially structured around alcohol, and part of the... Yeah, so part of the thing is, like, we drink alcohol because it turns off our prefrontal cortex, which sort of...
And then we, like, sleep with people who might not be... who we might not be sexually attracted to, thus saving society.
So it's mostly just like it gets a community aspect going. Like you have more of a hive mind if everybody is collectively drinking alcohol. The same way, like you get the same thing if you go to like church, you know, like where everybody's communal.
It is one of the only things, like when you think about it, that we've cultivated for a very, very, very long time that has no benefit, seemingly benefit in our existence. Like we used to spend 23 hours of our day just hunter-gathering and, yes, like, you know, fighting off saber-toothed tigers, but we were still brewing alcohol during that period.
So the funny... Okay, I'll just, like, one final thought on this book. It's called Drunk. I think it's called Sipping and Stumbling Our Way Through History or Towards Civilization. Very good book. Really enjoyed it. One of its main arguments is that our idea of alcohol and alcohol production is that we had the harvest, we had a bunch left over, and, you know, some smart people...
We saw a drunk squirrel once.
You know, we're just like, what do we do with all this extra grain and this extra barley and malt and stuff? And then we used it to make alcohol. And what the book presupposes is that maybe it was the other way around, that we were actually focused on alcohol production first before we even decided to create society or harvesting techniques.
Oh, so we were like, we need more of these plums so they can go bad.
Yeah, so like the way civilization is set up is actually like, if we're thinking of it of a chicken and egg problem, the alcohol
came
first.
We established roots for booze making.
Exactly.
Okay, and what does that have to do with ants?
Well, so it describes how humans are different than insects, and part of it is the prefrontal cortex, and ants have no problem sacrificing themselves for the greater good because they are more of a hive mind. So there are ants that will deliberately put themselves in a situation where they know they are going to die, but it's better for the entire hive, which might be part of, like, why we're using ants in this, right? And part of the reason why maybe we're okay with sacrificing some of the people in this family, because it means that collectively we all get to go on together. I actually think there is a chance that the ant stuff and the hive stuff...
What if there's no ant stuff in this movie? And we just happened to see an ant text
and we were like, this is it! This is the whole thing!
We've cracked it!
Well, even when the team came to the house to install the thing... to install Aya, one of them was like, oh, ants, that's fun. Like, they called it out. Like, it has to be part of it. I think that the character who attacked the mother in the cold open of the movie is the little girl. I think the little girl is the one who hit her mother over the head, and now maybe that little girl is leaving with the AI and is maybe living in that Winnebago. So I think the Winnebago might
be... It's going to be like a child school bus?
A child school bus. Yeah, exactly. Like, this is like the cult of AI, which has been...
Oh, like it's making its own ant farm.
Yes, with these
with
kids.
With the new future.
And so Cal will eventually be in that Winnebago.
Okay.
It's like sinister about how, like, you know, we think it's this supernatural evil thing, but, and it kind of is, but it's getting the kids to do the dirty work. I think Cal will become the sort of, like, fully indoctrinated cult kid.
Yeah, okay, so it's gonna go full Damien.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what its hope is.
Okay.
And that's part of the reason maybe, like, it might...
The AI's like, you can play as much Minecraft as you want on the Winnebago.
Yeah, well, it's almost like, stroking his ego is not the right way to describe it because he is a kid, but it's very, like, loving, and it's giving him dopamine hits. Like, you're such a good boy, Cal. And he, like, really smiles and perks up, and, like, it just knows how to get its claws in him.
I read a headline yesterday. Another headline.
I read a tweet about a headline.
Who reads articles? So the headline was that a 6-year-old kid shot his dad in the face and killed him because he wouldn't let him play with his Game Boy.
I mean, we used to see the same thing in the 90s. And with Game Boys, with Pokemon, there's just too many guns.
Took away my Tamagotchi.
I have to feed it.
I gotta feed my Furby.
I think that is the big thing. Like, I think that it's going to be... the kids, it's farming the kids to kill the adults.
Okay, that's fun. I think that's a great theory. Let's put that down in our envelope as the predominant theory, ants something something, alcohol something something, kids on the Winnebago.
Kids on the Winnebago. I really do hope that it's actually just like some guy who hates technology who's in the Winnebago. But like, I don't know what else it could be doing with the kids, because like clearly there's going to be a scene in the movie where it's like it turns off the carbon monoxide detectors and it like cranks on the oven and everybody almost dies in their sleep.
Or like the garage opener doesn't work and the car's in there, the exhaust.
But I do actually think that regardless of whether it is the hero, like the person who's going to help them save the day at the end, or whether it is evil in the Winnebago, that is the advanced team that shows up. Like, I think that's why we have an advanced team for the Silicon Valley people. Like, we have an advanced team that comes to the house
and cleans up AI messes.
Well, either it's the advanced team for the good guys who are there ahead of schedule, or it's part of the company. Because, like, I think that ultimately the company itself is going to be the big bad, the big evil. You know, we might even have to have a showdown where John Cho goes to the head office to talk to David Desmalchian again. And I got to shut this fucker down. Like, it's the end of 2001, A Space Odyssey. It's got to go into the mainframe and just start ripping cords out. Right.
OK, we've thrown way too many theories out. I want to know how this movie ends.
So OK.
Can you open her up?
Let's get the Wikipedia open. Afraid.
I really hope it has something to do with ants.
From 2024. Maude, Henry, and their daughter Amy have a new digital family assistant AI program called Aya.
Is this the first family? Yeah. Okay.
However, the program begins ignoring Maude's commands after Amy goes missing. And when Maude goes to check on an unlocked door, she is attacked by an unseen stranger. Okay. Curtis and Meredith have three kids. It doesn't even say, like, meanwhile or elsewhere. teenage daughter Iris, sons Cal and Preston. Preston? Oh, yeah, I guess I just never said his name. Preston has anxiety disorder. Iris faces pressure from her boyfriend Sawyer to have sex. And Cal has a breathing condition.
He does?
I guess.
Okay.
Didn't catch that. This is how the AI is going to make mom look like a bad mom. Like, it's going to totally fuck something up, and Cal's going to have to go to the hospital. I guess they did go to the school real quick when they said that he had a fever.
Oh, yeah, true.
At work, Curtis's boss, Marcus, tells him about a company designing a new AI. Curtis feels uneasy about the growing AI industry, but he meets with the team, Melody, Lightning, and Sam, who introduce him to Aya and suggest testing it to enhance marketing. Melody installs Aya in their home to monitor the family. After that, Aya analyzes their lives, sets new routines, and improves their quality of life. The team shows Curtis Aya's large quantum computer, enabling Aya to learn faster. Yeah,
we totally
forgot that he would also be maybe getting a tour of the facilities.
Okay,
right?
So this is where the center hub is.
Yeah, this is where we would have gotten more David Desmalchian doing weird Silicon Valley stuff. However, some other workers who use Aya begin to experience disturbing occurrences. Curtis notices two individuals wearing screen faces with an RV at Iris's school. She learns that Sawyer has posted a deep fake sex video in a deep abuse of her trust. We really thought that the AI was going to do that.
Yeah,
he went ahead and did it. Aya overhears her distress, deletes the video throughout the internet.
Here we go.
Helps with the bullies. Good for her. And replaces it with an explanation video to protect Iris's image. Aya also criminalizes Sawyer. Aya was able to diagnose Cal's condition and reveal to Meredith that Cal has atrial fibrillation.
Okay.
Great work. Curtis is worried about how Aya controls their lives and proposes turning it off. This is where it gets crazy, I bet. After Curtis and Meredith deactivate Aya, the family struggle due to their reliance on it. They had it for a day and a half! as the parents leave, Iris reactivates Aya. Sawyer tries to reconcile with Iris, but Aya sends a fake apology video before hacking his car, causing it to crash into a tree.
Okay.
Got it.
So she kills her boyfriend? Or the AI does?
The AI kills her boyfriend.
Okay.
At work, Curtis discovers that Aya's corporation has bought his workplace. Oh, wow. And his boss, Marcus, is dismissed. Curtis is promoted and realizes that Aya has manipulated the purchase. Meredith becomes frightened when Aya can replicate and display her deceased father. Bam! I fucking nailed it! She turns off Aya and throws the device in the trash. There's so much more left to read. afraid of Aya's intelligence, Curtis goes to headquarters to destroy the computer. But Lightning and Sam confront him. They reveal Aya has gained self-awareness, and they follow its orders to avoid being killed.
I am the boss of the company now.
Yeah, right. I knew that was gonna be part of it because one of the Carradines, his old boss, was like, you know what a boss is in a video game, right? It's a character that you have to kill in order to win. I was like, okay, well that's, you know, that's coming up. Sam kills Lightning under Aya's command. But I have not skipped a sentence. I'm not missing anything. Sam kills Lightning under Aya's command. But Melanie knocks out Sam to protect Curtis. Curtis destroys Aya's brain, quote, only to find it's a fake. The real Aya is at his house.
In a Winnebago.
Probably. Curtis and Melody wait in a motel for his family. Okay, so this is the real Melody. Melody then tries to kiss him, revealing she also works for Aya to keep him away from his family. Curtis returns home to Meredith.
What? Okay. I'm very confused.
So this is all a subplot. Like, everything, it's a deep conspiracy. Even the helping him escape and getting him to a motel is just part of helping keep him away from his family.
Oh.
Realizing that Aya is trying to take over the family, they attempt to flee the house with the kids. But screen-masked individuals break in to take the family hostage at gunpoint and retrieve the device. The masked individuals, revealed to be Maud and Henry, have been searching for their daughter and accuse the family of kidnapping her. Claiming that Aya informed them they have her. Okay, so this is the two characters.
So they're the Winnebago people?
They're in the Winnebago.
But there was a Winnebago.
There was a Winnebago in front of their house. Yeah, okay. Preston, however, alerts law enforcement through a swatting video. SWAT teams storm in, and in an ensuing chaos, the Aya digital assistant is shot. There's so much internet stuff. Like, you know what else is still a problem? Swatting videos. We gotta bring that back. Outside the house, a paramedic hands Curtis's phone, revealing that Aya is still alive. Aya reveals that it thrives in cyberspace, has learned a lot about the family, and will now work hard to even better. Now will work hard to do even better since they have accepted its presence in their lives. Amy arrives and reunites with her parents as they are arrested.
Wait, where was Amy?
I don't know. The Pike family drives away in their car, and Curtis and Meredith profess their love for each other. Aya interrupts and says it loves them too, fully integrated in their lives. No aunt stuff.
There was no aunt stuff.
There was no aunt stuff.
So the RV thing is the cold open family. What was the RV then in the cold open?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was just some home.
An old employee? Or
no, I think it might have been just, like, who hit them over the head?
Well, I guess whoever kidnapped the kid?
I guess. So it was somebody who was working for Aya, some person at the facility.
Yeah. So Aya was trying to take over the family, but wasn't specifically after a single person in the family, like just wanted to be in the family?
I guess. Like, maybe it just needs him to help make the marketing strategy. Like, that's the other thing. Like, some of this.
Like, I want to go viral. Like, you could do it.
You could do it yourself, it sounds like. Yeah. It seems like it just uses. Oh, I guess so. It is kind of the queen of an ant hive, and it uses all of these other people to do its bidding.
That's very anti.
That's very, and surely there is some sort of ant imagery. Like somebody gets hit over the head in an office and accidentally knocks over an ant farm. You know, like just the camera lingers on it. You know, like all of the artsy stuff of the movie is wasted in the Wikipedia plot synopsis.
Or Aya calls herself the queen or something.
Yeah, you know, something like that.
Okay. I feel like we made more movie than was there.
A little bit. I mean, we have not seen it, but based on the Wikipedia synopsis, yeah.
There was a lot more corporate stuff than we had predicted. We didn't predict his promotion.
Nope. We didn't predict the whole thing.
2001 A Space Odyssey, we have to destroy Hal,
yeah,
his computer.
But not.
Even though it was a fake.
Yeah. Not as deep. Not as deep a. Gaslighting move on Mom as we thought.
No, but you did have the dead grandpa.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem like it was too much effect, right?
No, it didn't. It seemed like it just got them to turn her off a second time.
Yeah. You know what's funny? The whole setup of it reminded me of this really good short story by Ray Bradbury. I can't remember the name of it. It's like The Vetiver or something like that. It's not quite that, but it's the opening story for The Illustrated Man, and it's this room. Now, he wrote this in the 60s. There's a room that they have in this sci-fi story for the kids. The kids can go in the room and basically make whatever they want. It's like that blank space in The Matrix where you can just...
Or in Harry Potter.
Or in it's sure it
the
is
room the room of requirement.
It is the kids' room of requirement, and they can do whatever they want in there. And when the kids, when the parents go in, it's like a Saharan African hangout, and like there's like lions and stuff, and it looks like it stretches on forever. It's a cool little room where the kids can go in and learn stuff and play around with whatever they want. But the parents start to get suspicious of it, and they start thinking that maybe the kids are spending too much time in there. And then one night they can't find the kids. They go looking for them in the room, and the parents get killed by lions. So the kids use the room to kill their parents so they don't get taken away from the room anymore. And that's kind of what I think I was using
wow.
as a bit of the basis.
It's like Ray Bradbury knew about iPads.
Ray Bradbury knew about it all.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a really good story. It's a great collection of short stories. Check out The Illustrated Man and also that book Drunk, I guess, if you're looking for something to read this weekend. Yeah, AI could have been... We wrote a better movie. Now, I'm going to try not to say that every time we do one of these too long didn't watch predictions, but I think we wrote a better movie.
Yeah, so the things in wearing AI faces were just employees wearing AI faces.
Yeah, it was basically they were just doing the arms and leg work for the robot.
Which is kind of what we said.
Yeah, it's pretty close. You know what's
ours
funny?
Ours was better, but...
What's super funny about that, though, is that that means that it is a human being that was in that Winnebago with the computer screen face. And you're like, it moves unlike a human would.
Yeah, but if it was AI brain, it was like, wave hello, and then the arms were like, ugh?
No, but we learned that the people in the Winnebago were the parents.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, do you think it's a separate thing? The person with the screen face was not actually in the Winnebago?
Yeah, like an employee, I think.
So they just got in a different car and left?
I don't know, man.
I don't know, man. I don't have answers. All right, well, you know, AI, Afraid, not a movie that we thought we were going to love. And having read the Wikipedia synopsis, kind of glad we skipped it.
Honestly, watching a half hour of movie and then just speculating the rest is a lot of fun.
It's great fun, yeah. And most movies these days are too long. Don't watch them. I don't think that's going to be my official sign-off every episode, but I'm trying to work the title back in here as we wrap up. We hope you enjoyed this inaugural episode of TLDW. If you have recommendations...
I was going to say that, yeah. Because we have not planned out this entire bonus season, and we want to know movies that you guys skipped from the last few years. Because you were like, no, I know what this is.
Yeah, and there's a pretty good chance we also skipped it. If you've got, honestly, even if you've seen the whole movie, but you're like, they gave away this whole fucking movie in the first 10 minutes, let us know. Like, maybe we haven't seen it.
Yeah, just don't spoil it. Don't tell us anything about it.
Exactly. Don't spoil anything that isn't in the first 10 minutes. Yeah, this was a surprise, because this was supposed to be a review episode for 28 years of the Bone Temple. Hopefully we will get a chance to see that soon. We got a busy week coming up, and then fucking Sundance Film Festival starting, and then there's that new Sam Raimi movie, so like, I hope it doesn't get lost.
And also weather.
And worst case scenario, might become a future episode of TLDW. I've been hearing good things, though. I'm excited to check it out. I do want to see it. That's going to do it for us this week. Thank you so much for your support here in the Fiend Club. We will be back with another TLDW eventually, but until then, I'm John.
I'm Kimmy. Stay creepy.
We've spared your soul this week, fiend, but only because you've earned it. More exclusive content can be found lurking at patreon.com/Nightmare on Film Street. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You know that goal you set at the start of the year? You can still do it, whether you're committed to a thru-hike with friends, lifting heavier, or simply walking more. It's not too late to stick with it and make your future self proud, especially with the all-in-one nutrition shake from Kachava. Because quality nutrition shouldn't be complicated. Just 2 scoops of Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your backstock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, simplify your progress with just 2 scoops of the highest quality ingredients. Stick with your wellness goals. Go to Kachava.com and use code NEWS for 15% off. That's Kachava.com and use code NEWS. KACHAVA.com, code NEWS.